We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Welcome to another edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here along with Bert Harper, and you are listening to the program on the American Family Radio Network where we explore the Word. We go through the Scriptures and we invite you to get a copy of the Bible and turn to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah, and we'll continue looking at this very inspirational part of God's Word. Well, Bert, it's good to be with you, and I'm excited. Do you know why?
Why are you excited, Alex?
Well, I'm excited because I'm in the studio with you and with Brent, and when I'm in the studio, I don't worry about technical issues.
No, the connection is real, right?
It is. I'm not 2,000 miles away somewhere in North America, and it's great to be here at the American Family Association.
Well, one thing that's funny, Sunday where I was preaching at Unity Baptist Church close to Saltillo, Mississippi, one of the men was asked, are you and Alex in the same studio, or is he way off? How does that work? And I told him, you could be anywhere and anytime. That was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, if he's listening and he hears you're in the studio today, he'll think, what were you talking about? Well, this happens about three or four times a year that you come to Tupelo, and yeah. This is one of those. And Alex, it's always a little extra special when you're here, brother.
Well, it's a great honor. I want to give two shout-outs. First of all, we had a great time yesterday. Angie and I are traveling. A dear, dear friend of mine, the first man that I ever baptized, Mark Parks, and he is with us. And 30-plus years ago, it was my honor to lead him to the Lord, baptize him. And it was his dream, he and his wife, to see Graceland, the home of Elvis. But his wife went to be with the Lord back in the spring, and I helped do her service. But we came, and yesterday we saw Graceland. But first, we had a great time going to LaBelle Haven Baptist Church in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Pastor Dean Stewart, it was a great worship service. We saw some sights around Memphis, came over to Tupelo. But I want to give a report about something very exciting, the Truth for Youth Bibles. And Bert, Jonathan Coker says that they had a goal to reach 60,000 Bibles by end of day Friday, 58,900 Bibles. Praise God. And I want to say a big thank you not only to Tim Todd and Revival Fires Ministry for this wonderful copy of God's Word that is getting in the hands of young people, but I just want to say a big thank you to the listeners.
Amen.
Who gave 58,900 copies of the Word of God. And by the way, as I understand it, the website is still up for a donation of $3. Every $3 will purchase and dispatch another Truth for Youth Bible. And
amen. Tim Todd, I think, gave a report on today's issues with Tim Wildman and their crew. And they said, yeah, they could take a few more. So if you want to go to tfy.org, or you can go to our website, afr.net, and you'll see it streaming at the top of the page, and you can connect that way.
Amen.
And so if there's that possibility that you meant to but didn't get to, what an opportunity to do so. Well, Alex, it is good to have you here in Tupelo and headquarters of American Family Radio, and we're so thankful you could come this way. And we're in the book of Nehemiah, and I wanted to share this with you, and the attacks, and that's basically the last 3 days we've been looking at the attacks that they brought against the Jewish people there in Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. Now, have you noticed when they came? This is important. In when they began, chapter 2, starting with verse 10, it makes it plain. Listen to this. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite heard of this, they were deeply disturbed, and they went to work. Okay? Then in chapter 4, it talks about them being halfway finished. Guess what came about it? A severe attack. And now we've real close, and we're coming up on this, chapter 6. This is looking ahead. They finished it, and they were ready to hang the doors. And guess what? They had one more attack. This is kind of what Satan does. Now, I think we can learn from this. Now, I know they're constant, but they seem to come at severe times.
Yeah.
Usually at the beginning of something, he wants to get it off track. If he can just get it off track a little bit, it's like a plane leaving New York City and going to L.A. If they're a little bit off in their direction and can't correct when they start, they'll be off severely. So the beginning, halfway is always difficult for us because you're halfway through and you're halfway there. And so it's always a severe time. And then putting the finishing on it. And this is what we'll get to, I think, today. When they were close to finish, they sent another attack. So get ready for God's attack all the time. I understand, but there's going to be special times, the beginning of a ministry, and it happens in a Christian walk right at the beginning. He's going to try to get young believers off track. That's why discipleship is so important at the beginning. When you're halfway through, I heard Vance Havner talk about this, about ministers, when they're halfway through and they feel like they've done a lot, but got a lot more, they can let up on the accelerator of their spiritual life and, you know, get detoured. And at the end, there's that tendency saying, well, really, what have we done? Is it really been worth it? So understand how Satan attacks and also when he can attack at severe times.
That is so true. And, you know, this analogy, I'm sure everybody's heard, but God grows his church by addition and multiplication. And Satan attacks it by subtraction and division a lot of times.
Ready.
And I've seen it. And let me just digress for a moment. We talk about churches and ministries at the beginning, in the middle, near the end, but even in relationships. And Bert, you know, I've done a lot of wedding ceremonies over the years, and the vast majority have stayed together, and some, to my sadness, did not stay together. Let me just say, as I read chapter 6, and I want to continue, don't quit, folks. The Bible talks about, you know, going a little farther. And let me just encourage people, whether it's in your calling or you're volunteering in your church or a ministry, but in your marriage, in your family, don't quit.
Amen.
There's so much to be said just for being the person who never did quit. Am I right?
You are exactly right. You know one of the most important words in all the Bible?
What's that?
Continue.
Amen.
You said they continued in the apostles' doctrine.
Yeah.
They continued breaking bread. You know, that is the whole idea. There's some very important words that we don't think about. Another is one. It's two words, but one another.
Yeah.
You know, those words, it's not all about me. It's about us together. We in America, sometimes we don't understand the value of community.
Yes.
You know, and when you read the Bible and you see the Jewish community, you see the value of that. Even today in Israel, when they are a possibility of attack, guess what? The IDF, a lot of those, they're working, but at a moment's notice, they're like kind of minute men and minute women, and they'll rush to that place where they need because they understand we either stand together or we won't stand at all.
Yeah.
And so we
know how to unify.
They do. We need to look at that and see that. And so continue in the work. Paul said, continue in the work that I've called you to do. And so that's, I think this is what we learn when we look at Nehemiah. How he started the wall, and he continued building the wall even through difficulties and hardships and the opposition. He continued doing the work. And before we get chapter 6, one quick thing about chapter 5 that I thought it was great. Here's what Nehemiah did. He did not take the provisions of taxing the people that he could for his administration.
Right.
He did it. He said, I want to do it. And one of the reasons it says this, it's in chapter 5, verse 18, because the bondage was heavy on the people.
Yeah.
He did not. He didn't. Matter of fact, guess what he did? He fed them out of his own provision, many of them. And notice what he adds to in verse 19. I could not help but think of this. Remember me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people.
Yeah.
Listen, Lord, I've been faithful. I've been faithful. Lord, I pray that you would reward me. I don't see anything wrong. That's not selfish.
I know.
That's him being saying, Lord, I want to be pleased, and I want, in the New Testament, would say, man, I'd want one of those crowns when I get to heaven. You know,
yes.
I want one of those crowns when I get there that I've been faithful with what you've given me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this, folks, because one of Satan's tools is intimidation and fear. When the word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, he lumps them all together, our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gate, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply. I love it. I'm carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then, verse 5, the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which was written. Now, this is where Satan tries intimidation and really bullying or threats. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There's a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us meet together. I send him this reply. Nothing like what you were saying is happening. You're just making it up out of your head. Verse 9, they were all trying to frighten us. Bert, I've never put a whole lot of stock in what they say, quote unquote. Have you ever had people say, well, you know, they say, or people will think, you know, speculation, fear, intimidation, and threats, that has always been a technique of Satan to try to silence the zeal of God's people.
You know who they usually includes?
Who?
The person who is speaking.
Yeah,
okay.
Really.
Now, real quickly, and I got to do this play on words.
Yes.
They want him to come to the plain of Ono,
oh,
which
no.
is spelled O-N-O. Okay.
Yes.
You know what Nehemiah said?
What?
O-O-H-A, no.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
No. No. You're not getting me down from the work that I'm doing. Don't come down. Now, there's so much here that is, we can spiritualize, but
yeah.
I believe it's real here. First of all, he was doing a great work. I'm not going to come down from that work to have time to meet with you. I am not going to leave the job that God has given me to do. I am not going to be intimidated by what you're saying. I know what you're up to. Listen,
it
would not take a genius to figure this out. Now, I'm not saying Nehemiah was not a genius. I think he was in leadership.
Yeah.
But this was an, of all the oppositions that he got, this was the easiest call.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, no way am I coming down to this place where I'm at. God's called me. He's placed me here, and I'm going to stay here. Alex, I think we need to have that kind of determination in our lives.
Do you know what? I am... have consulted with quite a few churches that have, you know, I've very humbly, they'll call me up and say, we've got a decision, help me. And regarding theological issues, do we stand strong or do we go with the times? And I've had people say, well, what will people think if we're so rigid? I always say, don't worry about it. Stand strong with God's word. Hey, Exploring the Word is going to come back after this. Stay tuned. More of Nehemiah 6 after this break.
A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Word of God speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Word of God speak. That's exactly what on Exploring the Word we want to happen, that the Word of God is clear, it is plain, and we're to listen and obey. Criticism come your way that is false, that is wrong. How do you respond? Well, I want to read this, and Alex has already read it, but I want to read it once again. Here's what Nehemiah said concerning their lies. He said, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Listen, sometimes you just stand and you declare it, and you stand there where God has placed you. Alex, Nehemiah had a great, he was courageous, he was determined, and he was going to complete the task that God had given to. Everything, the wall is done. The only thing it says back in verse 1 that had not been done was the doors of the gates to be hung.
Yeah.
And they knew, okay, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem knew, okay, if they get those gates finished, they determine who comes in and out.
Yeah.
We don't have free reign. I want to ask you, and this is spiritualizing, the walls that we have built up in our lives that we call boundaries that the Word of God gives us as well, and that we know that God wants us to obey, we better watch the gates.
Amen.
And not let them be torn down. Do not leave them wide open for anything and everything to come in. It says, guard your hearts. Part of guarding your heart is thinking what comes in, what goes out, spiritually, mentally. Alex, this is good stuff for as practical living, but it's also good for as the Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ too, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. You know, Bert, like you say, not to spiritualize too much, but there is so much application here. Gates and walls, not only in the nation of Jerusalem, but in our own nation and in our own lives. Now, let me read something, then I want to make a little application if I could. So here they come with this accusation. The nations, and by the way, in verse 5 and 6, the nations, whenever you see in the Old Testament, the people of the land or the nations, the Gentile non-believing nations that don't know the true and living God. Even if this were true, which it wasn't, so since when is our calling to placate unbelievers, the enemies of God? Who cares what the nations think? You know, Bert, I've had people say, you know, well, Jesus, the only way of salvation, heaven, hell, morality, what the Bible says about salvation and sexuality and gender and homosexuality being a sin. If we come down with the Word of God, will people think we're rigid or narrow? Look, who cares? Who cares what a pagan world thinks? Because they didn't hang on a cross and die for us.
You tell me it's an audience of one.
Exactly. Adrian Rogers, one of the great of the greats, He said, live your life for an audience of one. And look, we believe in reaching as many people in as many ways as we possibly can. But like Adrian Rogers would say, only the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. Only Jesus could. Let's care what Jesus thinks. I want to challenge people. Don't worry what you think people do or don't think. First of all, I think nobody's thinking about us anyway. You know, I mean, we obsess about
what we think of ourselves more highly than we
exactly.
are.
Okay.
Hey, listen, let's go to the next one real quickly because I want to get this. You may want to drop. But what about infiltration? Okay, the enemy from within.
Yeah.
Is this what's going to take place next? Okay, they've tried it from outside. They've tried it with threats, opposition, discouragement, infiltration.
And that's happened in many a church, in many a denomination, in many a school, even in our own country. If they can't destroy from without, they try to corrupt from within.
That's right.
I love what Nehemiah does, though. He does stand strong. He's very clear. None of this is happening. You're just making it up. Verse 9, they were trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work, and it will not be completed, but I prayed. Now strengthen my hands.
He prayed, let me see. He
to the prayed, God of heaven.
He prayed the beginning.
Yeah.
He prayed about what to do. He prayed about how much to get, and he's praying about the finish. Now he's praying again. Alex, sounds like Nehemiah was a prayer warrior.
He knew where his strength was. Hey, talking about strength, one of the words you hear a lot is sustainability. And they talk about food sources. They talk about manufacturing and minerals and resources. Let me talk about spiritual sustainability. All right, gates and walls. Gates allow stuff in and stuff can go out. Walls keep stuff out and protect what's inside. In a way, and Bert, you feel free to disagree if I'm making too much of an analogy, but the gates refer to belief and proclamation. What goes out? Our proclamation, Jesus Christ. What comes in? I used to love what Norm Geisler would say. He said, many books I read to consider. One book I read to believe. And regarding what goes in and out of your mind, what you ponder in your heart, people ask me sometimes, you know, debating atheists, and I prepare, I learn what the other person is thinking. They'll say, do you ever worry that you're going to come across something that will compromise your faith? No, because I believe what the Bible says. Now, I, by God's grace, have researched 10,000 lines of evidence that affirm and underscore and validate, but I know what the Word of God says, and I really, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't worry about stumbling across something that's going to cause me not to believe. You need gates in your life, just like a city needed gates, but you need to have a filter by which you interpret whatever you hear.
And guard your heart. Your
yes.
heart is your mind, your will, and emotions, and the first one on the front line is your mind.
Yeah.
And that's what you receive. And
gird your mind with God's word.
Exactly. And you talk about the filter. The Word of God is your filter.
Amen.
Hide God's word in your heart that you may not sin against God.
Amen.
That how shall a young man or young person cleanse their way? By taking or obeying the Word of God.
Yes.
And so the Word of God is that guard. The Word of God is the Word of God, just about everything. It's our sword. It's yeah. our guard. I know it says the shield of faith, but that faith is built on the faith that's in the Word of God. That's what it's based upon.
I know.
So are we well equipped? In other words, and I'm going to ask this, and I'll throw it back to you, with the armor. And when I see Nehemiah, and I know the armor of God was given to us over in the New Testament,
yes.
but we find out David was a warrior. We find others that were warriors. Moses was even a warrior.
Oh,
Joshua
yes.
was a warrior.
Yeah.
Nehemiah's a warrior as well.
Oh, he is. Absolutely. Another good analogy would be like an immunization. You know, like a shot to give you the antibodies to stave off some disease. There's so many ways we could apply it, but that's what the Bible will do, and it will even help your emotions. If you want emotional stability and joy, even in the midst of very, very stressful circumstances, it is the promises of God and His Word. The other thing I would talk about, the walls, that's like protection. But I would say in a spiritual sense, the protective walls of your soul are your Bible-based convictions. You know, a conviction is a core foundational belief that you will hold to as long as you live. We know Christ alone is the one and only Savior. Jesus alone rose from the dead. There is no other way for our sins to be washed away except through Jesus. We know that not only is God's revelation our roadmap to heaven, but it's how to live down here. So I see in gates and walls a lot about the spiritual stability of a person, a marriage, a church, a nation, and therein we can persevere.
That's exactly what we have in Nehemiah. And after those, well, I'm looking ahead real quick, meaning we'll come back to it. We look ahead, after the walls were built, his job was not done. He would call the people together and he would remind them of what God has done. And now guess what he does? He shares with them what God requires, you know, and we'll get to that probably in the next 2 days. But notice again, as I said in verse 10, listen to this. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehethabel, who was a secret informer. Highlight, if you've got a Bible, highlight that, underline that, because it's so important. And he said, let us meet together. Now, he's already said, oh, no, to oh, no. Okay?
Yeah.
So let's spiritualize this a little bit. Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they're coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Now, again, threats by an infiltrator, someone that acts like they're on your side, but they're not. Is there any depth that Satan will not go to try to get you and me and everyone else away from the will of God? He'll use anybody that's available. He'll use anybody. You remember when Peter told Jesus, no, Jesus, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. You don't need to go down there. We need to do it a different way. I've got a better idea than you do, Jesus, in place of you going to Jerusalem and dying on the cross. You remember what Jesus said to him? Get behind me,
Satan.
Now, again, he wasn't telling he was filled with Satan, but he was being used by Satan to try to distract Jesus.
Yeah.
Satan will use any. There's no one Satan will not use in order to try to accomplish his desire to kill, steal, and destroy. And here this man comes, and let us meet together in the house of God. We could, what does this say? We can pray about this, Nehemiah. Let us pray about this. I've been praying about it, and I believe God's told me to come and tell you that you need to pray about it as well. Do you see her?
Oh, yeah.
That's the spiritualization of a lie, isn't it?
It is. And you know how when Jesus told Peter, you know, get behind me, Satan. Now, Peter is the man that just weeks later after that would preach at Pentecost. Here's the thing. Sometimes playing it safe is not of God, but is of the devil, you know? And let me read this. So in 10, the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his home, said, let us meet in the house of God. Hey, they're coming to kill you. Verse 11, this is perfect logic. Nehemiah says, well, should a man like me run away? In other words, I'm a leader. Should I try to save my skin? Or should someone like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. In other words, first of all, he knew this wasn't true. But if somebody's coming to try to kill me, well, I guess so be it. I realized God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Hired? Wait a minute. So you
30 pieces of silver?
The best false witness money could buy.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
It is.
It's almost like a political candidate paying people to go to their rallies.
Now, he's, notice.
Which happened this past weekend. Yeah,
exactly. A prophecy. Okay?
Yeah.
A prophet in, you know, sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
A prophet that is out of darkness but pretends he's in the light.
Yeah.
You know, a hireling, a prophet for hire. All the things you describe here, this man is doing. And I love, but still, what he said, should such a man as I flee? Alex, what kind of man is he? Trusting God.
Amen.
I trusted God to get me here. I've trusted God to give me what I need when I get here. I've trusted God to give the workers. I've trusted God's protection. I'm not going to stop now. I'm going to keep on trusting God. Alex, is there a time in our lives where we can stop trusting the Lord and just make our mind, our own minds up?
No, we must trust him as long as we live. And let in verse 11, where he reasons and says, should such a man as I flee? No, I mean, he's a man who's trusting God, but also he's a leader that people are watching. And the people, you know, physically.
He's not going to bail out when his battalion is going to war and he takes early retirement. You mean he's not taking an early retirement?
He is not taking an early retirement.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
That's a good thing to point out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the people, they're invested physically, very rigorous work financially. We read about that in chapter 5. How in the world, even if this false report were true, if there were people, you know, should I run in fear or should I shut the doors in the temple? No. You know, get out of here. And this guy was a hireling, verse 13. He knows it. They're just trying to frighten him. So verse 14 is really a prayer too. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat. In a way, this is almost like what they call an imprecatory prayer.
It is.
Lord, remember me and the work I'm doing. Lord, you remember them and the way they've opposed it.
Now, they've had opportunity after opportunity. They had first said, we want to be a part of this work. Nehemiah said, you don't know. You're not a part of this work. No way, no how. And they were not, and they still were not. Hey, we're going to take phone calls, Alex. Let me see that phone number.
888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Give us a call on today's edition of Exploring the Word.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
And the Bible says when you're a Christian and you come to grips with that, now you can celebrate the fact that you're in one body with all the other Christians. You got one Holy Spirit living in your heart. You got one hope that heaven is coming and you have one Lord.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series in Ephesians, Belief That Behaves. Next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to healthcare, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. That's because MediShare works. It has for more than 30 years. It's a community of Christians who have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth. They love the huge PPO network. So yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price in 2 minutes. Here's the number. Just call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
And he was filled with wisdom and understanding and skill for doing any work in bronze. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. This is a description recorded in Scripture about a man named Hiram. His father was a Sidonian. His widowed mother was an Israelite of the tribe of Naphtali. Because God filled Hiram with wisdom, understanding, and skill for all manner of metalwork, Solomon summoned him from Tyre to come to Israel to work on the Lord's temple. We must understand, embrace, and celebrate that God's granting of wisdom includes our metalworkers, stonemasons, carpenters, plumbers, truck drivers, and more. He gives wisdom for daily duty, and we need laborers filled with God's wisdom.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Exploring the Word comes to you live 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, from the headquarters of the American Family Association in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi.
And where are you today, Alex? We always ask where you're from.
I am at the HQ, the headquarters of the American Family Association, and it is such a privilege to be here. And that number, I see we've got some calls coming in. We answer your Bible question, and any question and every question, Bert Harper and I will do our very best to give you a biblical answer. The number is 888-589-8840. We'll begin today in Texas, one of our favorite places. Ron in Texas, thanks for holding, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Man, hello.
Hello.
Okay, sorry, I heard the music playing in the background, so I didn't know who had something wrong. I'm listening through the app off the phone, and I can't do both. It's talking. Listen, but I have a quick question, and I really appreciate y'all's ministry and AFR. But when you talk with people, and I guess the apologetic side of trying to reconcile God's knowing everything with free will, to me, I don't know how to biblically explain it like y'all do through biblical, you know, chapters and verses. But to me, God is outside of time. Time is encompassed in God, but he is actually outside of time. So our thinking is not like he thinks. But how would you talk to another person about that who's trying to, because you've always got those people that try to find fault with everything. But you got to have a biblical way to explain it to them.
Okay, let me give a scripture, and I really have studied over this, Ron, and I believe it's in a passage that most people know about. It's Romans 8:28-29.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now listen to this. Listen to that says, and in the King James it says, in the New King James, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Okay, he's not causing these things. Mm-hmm. He's working these things.
Yeah.
That demonstrates God's sovereignty more than him causing everything. Okay, mm-hmm. I use this illustration. I've tried to help build a house from scratch, from the foundations up, and I just want to tell you, it's a lot easier, and you've done the opposite of that, taking an old house.
We
and
did.
I know you did, and doing your best to redo everything, so you had to undo a lot of things in order to do the new things. Now, which one would be the most difficult and show the greatest, and I would show ability and craftsmanship?
Well, you know, restoring an old house is a whole lot harder than building a brand new house.
Now, carry this over. God works all things that come our way,
yeah,
that he did not cause.
Good, bad,
and he works them for good.
Yes, amen.
That is the sovereignty of God forthright, better than anything that I know. Is we say, oh, man's free will diminishes God's power? It does not. It elevates it higher than I could ever think about, Alex.
That is a great analogy. And just think, God gets his will done. The Bible says even the wrath of man ultimately will praise him without compromising his wisdom, his goodness, his authority, without overriding our free will. And I often say this, the Spirit of God will nudge you, call out to you. God will offer the right way, but he won't force you. We have this moral power. You know, it's been said that we have power, muscular power, mental power, and moral power. Muscles, you can lift something. Intellectually, you can think about something. But see, free will means we can make moral choices. You know, and the Spirit of God will even try to help us do the right thing. But if we are bound and determined to do the wrong thing, the thing that our conscience tells us we shouldn't do, God won't twist our arm.
He will not.
We have free will. That's why we're accountable. And let me say this. This is how we can legitimately have a relationship with our Creator, that we heard the call of God, the truth of God. And I just want to say right now, deep in your heart of hearts, do the right things. Give your life to Jesus. Turn from sin. Live right. Fill your heart and mind with God's truth. Live right. The wisest thing we can do, the wisest thing, the best favor you'll ever do yourself, use your free choice to follow the call of God and do the right things.
Amen. Amen. I hope that helps, Ron. Where to next?
Arkansas. Ray, am I pronouncing your name correctly? Is it Ray in Arkansas?
Yes.
Welcome.
Yes, it is.
Yes, thank you for calling.
So I had a question about not really politics, but how to pray. My husband and I are having differing opinions on not so much political parties, but about whether we support abortion, whether we support the mutilation of children. I'm sorry, I've got my directions going. So that was my first question. And then my other question was, I am in a group that used to be Celebrate Recovery, but now it's Forever Free. And I'm getting ready to do my, you know, where I admit my wrongs and I try to make amends. And I'm dealing with a lot of fear from my past.
Okay, Ray, thank you. We're going to start answering that concerning abortion. Spiritually, physically, morally, there is not a single reason for abortion on demand for convenience sake. The only thing is the life of the mother, the real life of the mother, not a better life for the mother, the real life for the mother. And I know several women, Alex, that physically they were told, you need this abortion. And they just said, no, I'll trust God. Mm-hmm. I'll trust God.
Yeah.
And I've seen God do miracles. I'll put it that way.
Yep.
Abortion, when it comes to politics, they have entered our territory.
Yeah.
The Word of God makes it plain that that conception, life is. And when they try to do that, it's not us, quote, I think it's fine for us to get into politics. Don't get me wrong. But when they come into marriage, trans identity, and life, they've entered our territory, brother. We dare not move from our position. Amen. That the Bible says.
And, you know, earlier this year, a medical doctor reached out to me who is a listener and said, and I have this actually from two different, one a doctor, one from an RN, both of whom are medical professionals, who said, really, in this day and age with medical technology, the idea that abortion should exist to, quote, save the life of the mother, they said that is just non-existent in this day and age.
If it is, it's mescurial that you can't even you can't even track it.
Ray, let me say one thing about, you were talking about in a recovery group, confessing sin. And look, I believe in transparency, I do, but I want to say this. The confession should only be as public as the sin. And Bert, you feel free to disagree.
I agree already.
But God knows your heart. I have seen people sometimes, it's almost like picking a scab off of a wound that's just about healed. I would encourage you, look, I mean, if we've done somebody wrong, we need to make right. But when it comes to our past, confess it to the one who knows you most anyway, and that's just the Lord. Bert, sometimes these public confession sessions can get, I think, unhealthy.
I've seen it go unhealthy. Let me just share. We were at a meeting in a church far, far away, long, long, long time ago, and we were having revival. God was working, and we had testimony time, and a certain person got up and shared, said, I've had trouble with two of the women in our church, and I want to share with you. I want to get it right. Listen, did everything we could to cut it off, but the harm was done, you know? And listen, the two ladies that she had trouble with had no idea that she had trouble with them. Mm. And all it did was bring up difficulty. So,
like the old gospel song says, tell it to Jesus.
Tell it to Jesus. Now, if it's harm to others harm, like you needed a child, a parent, yeah, but be careful.
Wow, good word. Jeff in Texas. Jeff, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon. So, got something going on in my church as far as, I guess, an accounting, how the church or the finance committee is classifying one of the staff member, a senior staff member's salary. And instead of calling it a salary, they're annotating it as housing expenses or housing allowance. And I'm wondering, I haven't hit up anybody about it yet. I understand that was something they implemented about a year or so ago. And I'm wondering, that doesn't sound biblical to me. Can you tell me if I've, you know?
Okay. Jeff, let me just share with you, the tax code has a lot to do. It's not necessarily, it can be amoral, it can be moral, but they've made it in such a way that housing for a minister, ministers, pastors especially, are a odd group. We're self, you know, we are self-employed according to the IRS, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like the church can pay, okay, I'm going to pay 7.5, whatever that percentage rate of your Social Security and everything, but you can take housing allowance out of that, Jeff, to equalize that and make that more acceptable. It's a part of the whole, you know, their, you know, package that they're getting, but it makes it far as the housing on Social Security. If I remember right, and I could be wrong, I would need Rob West here during this period of time.
Yeah.
But I think it's taxable Social Security, but it's not taxable income tax, if I remember correctly. Don't hold me to that. I'm just trying to remember it.
There used to be this big, thick bulletin they would publish about every 3 years called Clergy Tax. Now, I'm on the IRS.gov site right now, and it says topic number 417, Earning for Clergy. And let me say this, it says ministers are essentially self-employed, a licensed, commissioned, or ordained minister who performs ministerial services on a weekly basis. All right, and it goes on. So, Bert, I don't think it's disingenuous or dishonest to use the legal tax code for the best stewardship of what a minister I'll say this, Jeff, and then we're going to move on. Every church, I really think, should have good, capable, consistently functioning committees, a finance committee, a personnel committee, if you're looking for a minister, a pulpit search committee. And I think there needs to be written rules. They need to be consistently followed. Now, go to the IRS website. You can find out the legal
It's not illegal, and I don't see it immoral either.
Good committees that are transparent and held by capable people. South Carolina, Linda in South Carolina, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, and thank you both for the ministry that you provide through AFR.
Praise God.
My question, I think, is a rather easy one, but I want to see what you guys say. Since Jesus never sinned, why was it necessary for him to be baptized?
Okay, two quick reasons. He was beginning his earthly ministry. Secondly, he was affirming John's baptism that others had been baptized, showing repentance. So he validated John the Baptist's ministry, the forerunner of Christ, and saying what John the Baptist was telling you about the kingdom of God being at hand and repentance. Yes, that's right. And he began his public ministry. Alex, go ahead and add to that.
Well, and he was our example. In Matthew 3:15, Jesus said, "Let it be, for you know it is proper," or I love the way the King James renders it, "it becometh to fulfill all righteousness."
Yeah.
And you're right, Linda. He didn't have to be born again, and he wasn't engaged in as what we would say believer's baptism. But he was our example, wasn't he?
He was. He was affirming what we need to do. Yes.
Great question. We have time for one more. James in Texas. James, thanks for holding. If you could go quickly. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, Bert and Alex, love you guys. Been listening to you for years, and I know this one isn't really just a question, but I just know that you guys do prayer, and I need prayer right now. I've been sick. I let my blood pressure and my sugar get too high, and it's kind of messed up my eyesight a little bit. The doctor's saying nothing major, but it's just got me kind of whacked. But I just want a prayer from you guys and from everybody. I know that, you know, God will answer, and I just appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you, James. Mm-hmm. Sunday, I preached from Mark chapter 2. Do you remember the four guys that helped that one friend down in front of
Mark
Jesus?
Chapter 2.
Let's do that for James.
Amen.
Let's be part of that. And I'm talking about not just Alex and me, but those of you listening, be a part of those men that went to the roof and let that paralytic down so Jesus could talk to him. Father, I pray that you would help James right now where he is, the discouragement that we heard in his voice. Mm. And Father, while he's here in that discouragement, do the work in his heart, in his life, that you only know he needs to happen. But, Father, we're going to hold him up and asking him to remain strong and that you bring this to glorify yourself and give him what he needs as he continues to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, this has been great to be in the studio, Bert, and how about we do it tomorrow?
Let's do it tomorrow. We'll start in Nehemiah chapter 6, about verse 15, if I remember right. Ahead and get ready. But we want you to do something. Tell someone about Exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.